Hello all and welcome to the podcast, The Modern Storyteller. My name is Surya T and it's a pleasure to have you here today. In today's episode, I want to talk about a very important question that a lot of fiction writers initially face. See, when people tell them, you need to read, the first thing that comes into their mind is what sort of genre I should be reading. There is a simple answer to that in their head. The genre that they want to write. And it's primarily fiction. If someone is writing an adventure thriller, they would look at adventure thriller books. But what if I said a non-fiction also helps you better write fiction? That's what today's episode's about. So without any further ado, let's get started. When I started writing, I had one simple goal, that I had to be a versatile writer, that I had to focus on being able to write in any genre possible. Maybe that's not what exactly your writing goals are. Maybe your goal is to write the best thriller or the next best romantic novel or the most amazing, phenomenal, paradigm-shifting philosophy book. Whatever may be the idea or your goal in starting writing, you need a lot of inspiration and you need to study. See, we live in a society where study has been given a very negative connotation, but unfortunately, that is not the case. Maybe fortunately. The idea is, look at the kind of writing people do, and not just in your own genre. What happens when you look at your own genre is you understand the kind of expectations and the various kind of storylines that are possible. But what you find out when you look at other genres is you find something much more inspiring. You find something that is not entirely relevant to what you want to write, but also something that can inspire exactly what you want to write. See, in this entire scheme of things, non-fiction comes up. People do ask me, Surya, how do you write fiction and how can I write fiction? After a bunch of tips, I keep telling them, read a bit of non-fiction, and they are often stumped. I mean, if I want to write a fictional story, why would I look at a non-fiction? And I get where they're coming from, because for them, nonfiction essentially means self-help books, motivational books, inspiring books. Usually the kind of books that after you read, you want to do certain actions. They provoke you, they motivate you, they evoke certain emotions of achievement, they make you feel empowered. But those are not the only kind of nonfiction books there are. Sure, being empowered is a very amazing emotion, and through my podcast, it's also something that I try to do for you as well. Hopefully, after every episode, you realize that once the deconstruction has happened, you see how simple things are, and you start the work that you've procrastinated so far. But these are not the only non-fiction books there are. There are autobiographies, there are biographies, there are documentaries, there are just plain research books which talk about a particular subject, history books. See, most of our history today is derived from historical fiction, where there are certain details altered, but a larger scheme of things is still maintained. So, unless it's an alternate reality genre, a World War II is still a war that's lost by Germany. A World War I happens in the exact same way. The 1930s depression happens in the exact same way. But the finer details, maybe who saved the 1930 depression, who figured out how to boost the economy back. In this case, it's Keynes, the Keynes economic theory. It's a very amazing read. I do recommend to have a look at it. But the finer details could have changed. I mean, maybe in a time travel story, Keynes was given the idea through a future where his own theories were being read. And he derives his own theory from himself in the future, the causal loops. I will talk about causal loops in a very different episode because they are quite frankly a little hard to get around, considering they are properly a loop. This could be a version of the story where more or less everything stays the same, but there's something different. The smaller things which could have a big impact are changed in such a detail that overall the impact stays the same. A lot of time travel related stories stick to this. So do you see the resemblance? If you want to write a time travel story, even though you've read entire science fiction genre, which includes as time travel as well as other things, you'll not come up with an idea to show John Maynard Keynes the economic theory, which is the Keynesian economic theory, in the future and him developing that in the past. See, this comes from nonfiction. See, I took economics as a subject and I was very fascinated by it. So I'm talking about Keynes as one of the story points. But this may not be the only thing that is important. Maybe there are other things. Maybe there are other things that drive you. So I want to give a small list. This is not an exhaustive list, it's an indicative list, but it's just a small list of things that nonfiction can do to you as a fiction writer. I've tried to do a lot of research on this, and this episode is very close to my heart because in that research I found out a lot of tips about writing nonfiction, but not a lot of detail about using nonfiction to write fiction. It's because the importance is so underrated. So, let's get to the list. Item number one, nonfiction helps you in your research. Remember I said history books, then documentaries. Maybe you're interested in writing about a certain topic. Let's say it's the war of 1919. Some countries were at war during the time, so assuming country A was in war in time period B. So you would pick up a history book that details of war during that time. You will try to find out certain books or diaries during that time so that you can piece together certain information, build up that society, and then start playing with your own version of reality. They help you understand, they help you get aware of what it is that makes that particular time period important. See, in 1919, telecommunications weren't as fast as they are in 2020. Surely you couldn't just call someone who's 1,000 miles away with an instant and expect to have them answer back or see you. It was a time where communications were the fast as they could be, but they're still very slow. Things took days, things took hours. What today we finish in seconds, they take hours. Today, we text people in the other part of the world. I am in India, I text my friend in the US. And I know there is a bit of a time difference between, but I know the moment she wakes up and sees that text, she will answer. And given that we know each other's schedules, I know at which time it is best for me to start a conversation. At a time where she's sleeping or I'm sleeping, the conversation wouldn't go. But at a time where both of us are... Technology has advanced to such a stage where these kind of improvements and possibilities have become reality rather than being science fiction. If you look at certain science fiction authors, what they have written, Jules Verne is one of the examples, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 80 Days Around the Earth. See, these were things that were not proven at the time Jules Verne was writing them. But Jules Verne wrote them and later they found out that to be true. I mean, if you go the other way around, it takes 81 days. But if you go in the direction of the Earth's movement, the opposite way, because you'll cover more distance, you can cover it in 80 days. This is a prediction. This could be a understanding of the world and bringing something out. See, there are stories in epics of Mahabharata and Ramayana which talk about geographical locations at a time where GPS wasn't something that anyone knew. They talk about temples in areas that were so inaccessible, and today with our latest technological possibilities, we find that these epics written in a time millennia ago are true. So how is this possible? That's a very different tangent, but to give a small list, research. If you have enough knowledge of physics, of time, of various scientific subjects, you can make these predictions. And to a certain extent, that is the most important thing. And you get this information from reading a non-fiction book. You do not get this information from fiction. And to be honest, you do not know what details are changed in a fiction book. Second, they give you inspiration. Remember when I said a lot of books try to empower you as a person to do something bigger than you've done so far? This is a very important feature of non-fiction books. This is also particularly true to a fiction book, but primarily a fiction book is an escape into another world. A non-fiction book, particularly reading someone who has done something amazing, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Mahatma Gandhi, Vivekananda, and so many more, you realize that there are a lot more people who can give you inspiration when you're down. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and she was casually mentioning about the tone of my poems. I have written a bunch of them so far, and I keep sending them to her so that she has a little bit of say in how they turn out. And what she has seen is there's a lot of sad and depressed tone in a lot of my poems. And what she asked me is, why do I write such things? I told her, this is a pain that I see all around me. This is a pain that I see in me. And if I write about it today, maybe tomorrow someone will be inspired to do something about this. Maybe someone tomorrow will become courageous to start talking about it. See, technological advances have made video calling in an instant possible, but there still is a taboo around mental health in our society. There's still taboo around a lot of things in our society. If I can do something, if I can put out my story, if I can put out the stories of the people I see all around me, maybe one day someone will be brave enough after reading these to tell their story, to do something about it, to change the entire system that makes mental health a very important subject of discussion. Inspiration is the second one. And the third one that I want to talk about, and this is a very important one, I cannot emphasize how important this is. this exposes you to a different style of writing. I remember I told you my goal when I started was to learn as much as possible about writing and be versatile to be writing in any genre. I do recommend that to be your goal, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. But if you have to become better at your own genre, you can't just look at your own genre. You have to inspire from other genres. You have to look at how various genres work. See, a time traveling genre, which is science fiction, is not exactly the same as a romantic genre, maybe. See, a book like The Notebook has brief jumps into the past, which are primarily memories. But in time travel, you are actually in that. You are in the present, but for someone as an observer in a certain time, it's the past or it's the future. So this relativistic time difference makes a lot of action possible. You can bring something of this sort into your own genre. Non-fiction books usually have a very straight structure where they tell you point after point. It's step 1, step 2, step 3, etc., etc. However, not all non-fiction books are like that. Maybe you'll find an amazing turn of phrase. Maybe you'll find an interesting story in those examples. Maybe you'll find a basic behavioral trait. I was reading this book called Tribal Leadership by John King, Dave Logan, and there's another author, I forgot her name. But what I realized is, it's very important about the language that we use. The third author is Haley Fisher Wright. Though the book talks about how people tend to form groups with people who are very common like them. I mean, this is not a very new groundbreaking research that we know. Birds of a same feather flock together. This is an idiom. We knew this earlier. But this book talks about the kind of outlook on life and how a person can move from one to the other, both directions. What triggers a reaction to go from a higher stage to a lower stage, where they start seeing everything in a negative light, or the other way, where they start seeing in a positive light. See, these triggers give you ideas, and they gave me ideas for certain events that I want to put for my own protagonist, for my own characters, in a setting and see how their language changes. See, someone who's rejected so many times is either numb to it that a no doesn't really make a lot of difference, or they're so dejected by it that their entire outlook on life changes. Based on a certain other factors, I know how my character will behave, and I will use exactly that kind of language. A lot of non-fiction books deal with behavioral aspects, and these become triggers for various events as well as storylines in your own story. So just to sum up the three things I want to talk about in this episode, and there are a lot more which you can find in the additional tips document. It's just $1. And I think it's a very good investment that you can keep, that you can make for yourself. In the end, it's not just about writing forever. After a point, you'll hit a wall. And I think by doing certain exercises that are in the additional tips document, you will get to where you want to be faster. I think that's worth the time difference that is there. So the three things to summarize. One, they can be research material. They'll give you a lot of information. The second one, They'll inspire you. They'll empower you to do something amazing. They can help you beat procrastination and start writing. And the third one, they'll inspire you in your own writing. Nonfiction can give you triggers for writing fiction. This is all I have for today. Just before you go, I have recently started writing a new book called T-5 Years, and it's published on Wattpad on every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. It's an apocalypse story where Vikram comes back 5 years in time to prevent something. He still retains a certain part of his memory, but he's not completely aware of what happened and what transpired in those 5 years. He has to find a way to avoid a certain event from happening, and he doesn't remember what that event is. It's a really exciting journey so far, and I hope you'll also like it the way I liked writing it. So far, around 5 to 6 chapters have been posted, and I think you'll be very interested in staying tuned to that. Do follow me on Wattpad so that you get instant notifications. And if you like the podcast, please, you can leave a review or share it with someone who really needs it. So that's all I have for today. I hope you have gotten enough to start writing your stories. The resources for this episode are uploaded on my Patreon page and the blog. The summary is available to all, and there is another document with additional tips. If you're interested in supporting the Modern Storyteller podcast, you can do so by either buying the additional tips document or becoming a patron to directly get access to these episodes as well as the ones that came before this by becoming a patron with less than $1 per episode. You can check out the additional benefits on my Patreon page, for which the link is down below. Have a good day writing. See you in the next episode. Surya T signing off.